课堂听 class.com。
Quiz 6. Questions 1 through 3. Listen to part of a talk in a marine biology class.
An ocean's waters are not the same all the way through. They are divided up like a building with several stories, where life is very different at the top, middle, and bottom stories. The upper layer of the ocean is warmer than the layers underneath. The clear, sunlit waters near the surface are an ideal place for the microscopic plants called plankton to grow. The tiny plant plankton provides food for tiny animal plankton, and so they start off the food chain for everything else in the sea. Huge schools of fish like herring and sardines cruise the upper waters to eat the animal plankton. Big, fast-swimming fish like tuna and swordfish swim through the same levels to capture the smaller fish. About 200 meters below the surface, the temperature suddenly drops. This is a dimly lit twilight world. From there to the ocean's bottom, it is very cold. Utter darkness usually begins at a depth of 1,000 meters. Down in the bottom zone, no plants can survive, and all that can be found there are animals hunting and feeding on other animals.
Number 1. According to the professor, what characterizes the ocean's upper zone? Number 2. The professor briefly describes the ocean's food chain. Indicate whether each sentence below is a step in the process. Number 3. How does the professor describe each layer of the ocean's waters? Questions 4 through 6. Listen to part of a talk in a zoology class. The professor is talking about bees.
The worker bees, underdeveloped females, do all the work that is done in the hive. They secrete the wax, build the comb, gather pollen, feed and rear the brood, and fight all the battles necessary to defend the colony. The worker bees possess the whole ruling power of the colony and regulate its economy. The worker develops from the egg into a perfect adult bee in 21 days. Each egg is laid by the queen bee, who deposits it in the bottom of the worker's cell. After 3 days, the egg hatches into a small white worm called a larva, which, being fed by the adult bees, increases rapidly in size. When the cell is nearly filled by the growing larva, it is closed up by the bees. The larva then enters the pupa state. When the adult worker emerges from the pupa, she usually does not leave the hive until about 8 days later. Then, accompanied by other young workers, she takes her first flight in the warmth of the afternoon. The body of the worker bee is divided into 3 segments, head, thorax, and abdomen. On the head are the mandibles, the jaw-like organs which enable the bees to perform the necessary hive duties and to mold the wax and build their combs. The honeybee's 4 wings and 6 legs are fastened to the thorax. Located in the abdomen are the honey sac and the sting, with its highly developed poison sac. The sting is used by the workers for self-defense and for the protection of their colony. The worker uses her sting only once, for in doing so, she loses her life.
Number 4. What tasks does the worker bee perform? Number 5. The professor describes the stages of a worker bee's development. Summarize the process by putting the events in the correct order. Number 6. What segment of the bee's body contains the feature necessary for each activity? Questions 7 through 10. A student is giving an oral report in a world history class. She is talking about bread and cereals.
Bread and cereals have a long history. The first bread was made in the Nile Valley about 10,000 years ago. The people used stones to crush the grain into coarse flour, and then they made the flour into primitive forms of bread. Primitive bread was not like the bread we know today, because it was simply flour dough dried on heated stones. The invention of ovens came later. Leavened breads and cakes, which are made to rise by the action of yeast, were also a discovery of the ancient Egyptians. The Egyptians were the first people to master the art of baking. News of this new wonder food spread to other places in the Middle East. Soon other people were collecting seed, cultivating land, and inventing ways to turn grain into flour. Baking used to be a social activity. While some homes had their own ovens, many families had to bake their dough in communal bakeries. To identify their loaves, each household would make a distinctive mark on the bread, sometimes with a special stamp bearing the family name. Modern cereals descended from the cereals grown long ago. These grains now supply the world with everything from bread and breakfast cereal to pasta and even candy and beer. The most important grain crop in the temperate regions of the world today is wheat. Bread wheat is the most widely planted variety. The large grains of bread wheat are rich in gluten, a kind of protein, and produce light, airy bread. Another widely cultivated variety of wheat is durum, which goes into making pasta. Other important cereal crops are rye and oats. Rye is the hardiest cereal and is more resistant to cold, pests, and disease than wheat. Oats are grown in temperate regions and are mainly fed to cattle, but the best quality oats are made into oatmeal and other breakfast foods.
Number 7. What topics does the speaker discuss? Number 8. The speaker traces the history of bread. Indicate whether each sentence below describes an event in the history. Number 9. Why did people stamp their bread with the family name? Number 10. Based on the information in the talk, indicate whether each phrase below describes wheat or oats.